This is the last time in the infancy narratives that we hear about Jesus. From his childhood to his coming of age as a Jew in full adulthood. In today's gospel, we are told that Mary and Joseph went up to Jerusalem each year for the Passover. But this year, Jesus is 12. And this year, the family celebrates Jesus' bar mitzvah, or his rite of passage into the larger community of believers. Historians tell us that the trip to Jerusalem would have been festive and charged with prayer and storytelling of God's mighty deeds and the promise of liberation and freedom. And being such a festive event, it wasn't surprising that Jesus is not missed on the first day out. Each of his parents assumed he was with the other, or with friends or neighbors. And at some point, they began to search for him, looking among their relatives and acquaintances, but they did not find him. And they retraced their steps and retraced their steps and still didn't find him. And finally, on the third day, they came upon him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his intelligence and his answers. As Luke describes it, Jesus has grown up in size and strength, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. But once again, his parents are astonished. But in particular, Mary's reaction is quite motherly, revealing she doesn't quite understand his behavior. In fact, she takes it personally at what he has done, saying, "Son, why have you done this to us?" It appears Mary truly doesn't understand that Jesus is not only her child, but God's only begotten Son. However, Jesus sees himself already in the larger family of Israel. The covenant and the law tells Jesus that he must be in the temple, in his Father's house. And so, for Jesus, family is foundational to life, but it is not the primary purpose of life. The primary purpose of life is surrendering to the Father's will and honoring God's design and bringing his kingdom to earth. Therefore, bringing God's kingdom to earth is not dependent on marriage, blood ties, or physical birth. This account is interesting because it gives us a glimpse of what is to come in the resurrection, where on the third day, Christ's risen body will be his Father's house instead of the temple in Jerusalem, where his new family will be the body of Christ, the dwelling place of the Spirit in the world, where his disciples will search for him and surprisingly find him in the world and in our lives. And as the story is told, the 12-year-old Jesus returns with his parents to Nazareth, and he is obedient to them, where he will progress steadily in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. This is the way Jesus spends the next 3 decades of his life. Understood this way, all of us are to, as Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, to put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Like Jesus, we are all called to live lives of virtue, within our own families. We are to be a holy family. Holy not because we are perfect, but holy because of God's grace in it. Which brings us back to Mary, because her attitude in the temple is similar to that at her child's birth. As it is written, she kept all these things in her heart. These few words describe much of Mary's life. Jesus was born of her, but he is not hers. He belongs to his Father God. So what does this say about parents and their children? Our children are born to us, but they are not ours, because they ultimately belong to God. And among the many lessons parents can give their children, there are times when, like Jesus in the temple, only a child can teach a parent something essential about life. To bring this point home, there is a marvelous story from a Turkish tradition called Hide and Seek that can help us take all this into our hearts. Once upon a time, there was a man who sought wisdom and studied with the wise ones of many countries. And one day a wise child was brought to him with the explanation that this child was profound in his understandings and abilities to speak. When the man asked whom the child had studied with, he was informed that the child was naturally wise and that his spirit was pure and that no one had taught him. And so the man questioned him, and the child answered in utterly simple and direct responses. The man was stunned and overcome with emotion. "What child was this?" the man said. And the man was full of questions that he had carried all his life. He poured them out in a stream of never-ending proportions, one building upon the next. But the child grew restless and decided he wanted to play a game of hide and seek. The child told the man, "You hide and I'll find you." But the man insisted, "No, you hide and I'll find you. After all, I have great knowledge and I can find anything, and you are just a child." But the child refused. "No, you go first. Hide and let me find you." So the man snapped his fingers and disappeared. The child was delighted and searched for the man. But soon the child was disappointed and almost in tears because he realized the man had disappeared into another world. Out loud he said, "That's not fair. You're not supposed to hide in another world. This is a game for here." The man came back marveling at the boy's insights and perceptions. And in that instance, the boy disappeared. It was a game of hide and seek, and now it was his turn. And the man looked everywhere, but could not find the child, because the child had leapt into the man's heart. A place the man rarely ventured, alone or with anyone else. Finally, desperate to continue questioning the child, he pleaded, "Where are you?" The boy answered, "Right here." The man listened, but the sound, though near and so close, was also far away. "Where?" he called again. The child laughed, "In your heart, of course." But the man was lost. He did not know how to get into his heart. The child reappeared before him, stern and sad, and looked at him for a long time. And then the child spoke. You know, if you do not look into your own heart, you will never know wisdom and truth or their power to reveal and transform. Deep, deep down, there are rooms and caves that are full of riches and treasures, memories and hopes. And after a while, the child spoke again. And if you don't look into the hearts of others, you will never find faith or love. And with that, the boy turned to leave, and the man grabbed for him. No, the child said, I must go. There are many people I want to play my game with, but maybe someday I'll come back and play again. And I hope you've practiced a lot and explored a lot more by then. Goodbye until we meet again. And the child vanished. And so the child vanished, just as Jesus vanished, into a small, forgettable town on the border of an oppressed, forgettable country, living simply and learning wisdom and promising to come again. And so the moral of the story may be this, that God's game of hide and seek is in full swing. And only those who spend time remembering all these things in their hearts, and those who surrender in love into the hearts of others, are those who will find the child in their own hearts and recognize him when he comes again. These are the chosen ones of God, his holy and beloved family.